Hi everyone, from Be Brent Graham. It's Thursday night, 9 o'clock South African time at any rate, and time for the handicap rugby chat that matters. Well, we've got three guests coming into the studio tonight, but you'll notice we've only got two at the moment. That's because the other one, the prodigal son of the Oracle, who's making a long-awaited return, is battling, probably due to a load shedding or something along those lines. But yeah, let's introduce the panel. I'm going to start at the top of the screen with the conductor. Conductor, how are you, mate? You're looking good for a man who only has 12 and a half hours of power a day.
Come on, Brenty. Thanks, mate. Great to join you, boys, and welcome to Harry. Yeah, it's electricity is a bit sparse at the moment in good old RSA. It's like being on one of these weird Japanese game shows where you have to survive all these obstacles and trials, etc. And then when you get to the end, you think everything's over. Some slender oak jumps up from behind the screen and punches you in the nuts just to make sure that you have actually reached the end of the pain. So, you know, it's definitely testing times where most of the day we don't have electricity. But, yeah, hopefully they sorted out. You know, I think the main thing is trying to just time the electrical schedule for the rugby on Saturday, because there's quite a bit of rugby to come for the internationals. So, yeah, hoping I can get to watch most of it, yeah.
Excellent. Well, welcome to the boys joining us now in the live chat. Mark Dunphy, of course, in Asia at the moment. Peter Paul coming in. And then a man who, if I'm not mistaken, is coming to us from the United States. It's Harry Jones. Harry, good to have you on the show.
How's it, Brent? It's good to be on. I feel a great privilege to be on with you in this kind of reduced state, load shedding moment. But it looks clear for me.
Excellent. Well, we were a bit worried at once that you'd be the only one on the show. You know, the rest of us would be in total darkness and you'd be flying solo. But Harry, quickly, before I introduce Oracle, who looks like he is sitting there by candlelight at the moment, what's your background then? You're obviously a rugby fan. I see you on the Raw Sports podcast. That's actually where I picked you up. I was listening to that the other day. And I gather all over the world, but currently in Texas?
Yeah, so I'm a bit of a global fixer. I grew up in Cape Town, and so that gave me a good preparation for a life of fixing problems that cannot be solved. But I try my best. And yeah, so I do global sports law. I do scandals that need fixing. But yeah, I played rugby in the southern suburbs. Some guys will remember me. I think I might have been the reason they invented the red card. I was a Brantum Latte Poop kind of loose forward. At some point, people made me prefect and head boy just to make me, you know, stop giving me cuts. But I never lost my love for South African rugby. And nowadays, I write for an Australian platform and inform them about the beauty of the brutal ballet that we call rugby.
Excellent. Yeah, what a sport it is. I don't know if I will introduce Oracle now. Just a comment there, the Durban July podcast. Yes, guys, that's on the YouTube channel. We've got excellent panelists there, hopefully pointing us towards a few winners. Good to see an old face back, Shark Brain, or an old name, should I say. Good to have you back. Oracle's still battling along, gents, but let's get straight into the action. Harry, just to ask, first of all, as far as the betting side of it goes, are you a punter? Are there options there where you are now to bet? Or what is your situation on betting?
Yeah, I do. In fact, I had a great fun in the Six Nations this year. I went over to watch England, Ireland, and I watched Wales, France. And it was difficult to leave those punting shops, actually. It's great fun. That's where all the action is in Cardiff. But no, I do that. And I have a tipping panel every week on the Roar where we try to beat the odds.
Excellent. Well, look forward to your inputs tonight. We'll start off, Conductor. We've got only international rugby to talk about really this weekend, as far as I know. And I've got, by the way, two 200 rand Hollywood bets vouchers to give away. So look out for that. We're gonna just be asking for some predictions on the weekend. But let's get cracking. I think the first game we want to cover, Conductor, is New Zealand up against Ireland. Here we've got a handicap of New Zealand minus 12.5 at Hollywood. This cap opened 15.5. I've seen as low as sort of 10.5. It seems to have settled around the 12.5 point mark.
Yeah, Brenty, it's really where the punters earn their money, trying to convert, you know, provincial and club side form into basically, you know, high guards are going to, you know, perform in the international setup. You know, obviously the European guys have played Six Nations, but obviously for a lot of the Southern Hemisphere sides coming to us without a lot of international games this year. So, yeah, first up, New Zealand versus Ireland. Initially was leaning Ireland plus 15.5. I thought that was a bit high. To open up, and now that it's settled, I'm probably now, you know, it's tough to back Foster. I don't rate him massively as a coach. I think he's been one of their poorest selections as coaches in the past couple of years. You know, his selections all around the park, sometimes do make you scratch your head. You know, is Sam Kane probably the best flanker they have, and likewise the best captain? Probably not. You know, for me, I probably much rather prefer Dalton Papali'i in place of him. Yeah, and obviously a bit of COVID going around the New Zealand camp. I think it was Goodhue. The biggest one's obviously Will Jordan. I mean, on his day, he can absolutely shred defenses. So when a guy like Will Jordan is missing from your team, he's a massive, massive loss. Other than that, it's a fairly settled New Zealand side. Yeah, but I mean, there's still a bit of weaknesses there. I'm not a massive Quinn Dupai fan. I would have apparently Richard Mwanga had a stomach bug. I don't know if that's the reason on his bench or is Barrett's favorite ahead of him. But geez, I mean, if anybody watched that Super Rugby final, how do you start Barrett ahead of Richard Mwanga? He was so outclassed there. You know, I would have definitely had
Cullen. I think it must be health. Maybe health reasons. I agree with you. There's no way anybody keeps Richie Mwanga out of the.
Yeah, I think he might have been punishing the porcelain bowl this week. So I don't know if he's fully fit to go. So yeah. Other than that, yeah. Peter Gusso, Kula coming off the bench. Yeah. There again, I would have preferred a guy like Cullen Grace. There again, I thought Cullen Grace had a superb Super Rugby final. But like we say, Foster, he does make some strange decisions. So let's see how that New Zealand side goes. Obviously, the big factor, Eden Park, that's the absolute fortress. So that's why I'd probably lean towards New Zealand on the minus. I've seen -9.5 in places. That's what I'll go towards. Ireland coming off a good Six Nations, finishing second. That started off horrendously. I know it was an experimental team to play the Maori All Blacks, but man alive, experimental or not, the tactics were just horrendous. The discipline was poor. How on earth do you kick onto a Kiwi side the way they kicked onto Sullivan? It was just shocking. The discipline was very poor. James Hume, bad injury. Kian Healy looked to have a huge injury, and suddenly he's on the bench for the Irish. So the reason I'm leaning New Zealand on the minus here, as I said, purely because I just think when New Zealand get their tails up at Eden Park, it's a different bag of hammers. And I just see some cracks in that Irish side. I think two of them could have been left at the Sunny Acres retirement home, namely Keith Earls and Johnny Sexton. Now they are getting slightly long in the tooth at 34 and 36 respectively. You know, Peter Mahoney still having good games, but geez, I don't know if he's still right at his full tilt. And going to Eden Park against the All Blacks, you know, a lot of the guys are talking up New Zealand as a spent force, and I don't think that's the thing you want to be doing at their home of rugby there. So I do feel that could get into a bit of trouble. You've got guys like Bundi Aki, who played a full 80 minutes on Wednesday. He's on the bench. And like I said, Kian Healy, apparently he's on the bench as well, and he had a bad injury. So I'm not sure how he's covering tight head. Furlong is going to have to go deep into that game.
Right, well, let's get Harry's views there. Shame, I can tell you guys, Oracle is desperately trying to get into the show, but I don't know if it's load shedding. Well, I hope it's load shedding, because I hope he doesn't have bad signal in his new home there. But Harry, let's get your views on this one. I've certainly a game, I must tell you, I'm really looking forward to. I was leaning Ireland plus initially, but I also find myself now swaying towards the All Blacks at Eden Park. What are your views?
Yeah, I think the Irish are going to catch a hiding on this one. And I think the problem is, you listen to the Kiwis speaking all week. It's Irish are the best team in the world. We're honored to play on the same field as them. It's all that Kiwi charm. I think there's a pent-up fury that's about to be unleashed. I think that New Zealand is the graveyard of old wings. I mean, they churn theirs out at 26, 27. You're done as a New Zealand wing. So Keith Earls is going to have a slow rugby death. I do think Johnny Sexton is a bad idea to take on this tour. He should have been mothballed. And I think that's going to be tough for them. But I think mostly it's about what Irish do on the field. They use their tight forwards to clean a lot of rucks. The only way they can score is camp in your 22 and then have lots of phases. I don't think that's possible against New Zealand. I don't think that's, even with Sam Kane's lack of pace, I do think that they're going to get over the ball because they get over the ball with lots of positions. I think there's some people like Leicester, Fainga, Nuku. I think he has so many names. It's I think he has Wales and Twickenham in his surname. But this guy is going to, I think, have some roadkill. And I do think that the Irish are going to have a trouble in the engine room. I think James Ryan has been out physicaled several times in a row now. La Rochelle, the Bulls did it to him too. And I think Ty Byrne is having to fill in as a lock. Ty Byrne looks like a bad guy, but he plays like a soft guy. And then you have Peter Omani, who looks like, you know, he's ready for, like you said, the retirement home. I just don't think that they can handle the short burst of scoring that the All Blacks will do. That being said, I don't think, I think you're right. And Foster made it harder for himself with some of the selections. I think the same thing could be said about Sam Whitelock. He's struggling in contact. He's not imposing his will anymore either. And I do think putting two Lucys, Peter Gus and Dalton Papali'i on the bench with no lock cover and making Scooter Barrett your guy, that could be something that holds them back. But I just think in the last 25 minutes, it's going to be a scoring bonanza.
Well, let's try and bring him in while he is here. I don't know how long we're going to have him on the show for. Thanks for that, Harry. We got the Oracle at the moment. I'm looking at the doctors. Gavin, can you hear us, mate?
There he is.
Gav, can you hear us? I think it looks as though Oracle might have to make his return another week here. Give us a thumbs up if you can hear me, Gav. No, not looking good for the Oracle. So listen, while Oracle's fiddling around there, guys, let's have our first competition, and I'll get the panel's views on this as well. Question one for a 200 Rand Hollywood voucher, All Blacks against Ireland. What I want to know from the boys in the live chat is, I want to know who's going to win, what the margin's going to be in the total points. So New Zealand by 7, for example, and 38 points. And the first thing you've got to get right is the winner and then the margin. And if there's two guys tied on the margin or have got a similar distance between them and the margin or the same distance, then we'll go to points for a tiebreaker. So, yeah, unfortunately, I don't know if Oracle's going to make it on, but that's the question. Let's see the answers in the live chat. We got the views from the guys there. I must say, guys, yeah, this is a game where I have done a little bit of a swing around and I find myself now leaning on New Zealand, despite the fact that a couple of weeks ago I was swearing blind Ireland were going to win the series. But let's move on to the next game while we see a few of those answers coming in. And Harry, let me start with you for this one. Australia up against England. I think it was -4.5 Australia, -5.5 perhaps early doors. The money's definitely coming for the English, and most of the punting sentiment I've seen is on Eddie Jones's English. Where are you? Where's your money going on this one?
It's just going to come down to a kick, and it's going to be played on a very, very slick surface in Perth. It's an AFL surface that actually favors the mall. So when you look at guys that played in the 2016 series, Jamie George, Mauro Itoje, Courtney Laws, Billy Vunipola, these guys can form kind of the kind of tank you need on that kind of surface. Australia is actually named a very curious lock up against them to kill Malls, a Welshman, basically, Cadden Neville, uncapped, 33 years old. And you have a very nice-looking Darcy Swain, but not for me scary. And you have another guy on the bench that his name is Matt Phillip, who I think could have started. And I just don't know if Australia can handle that forward meet. I don't think that England's taking their backline very seriously by naming three uncapped people on the bench, but their starting backline, I think, could actually get over the line. I'm not a fan of Owen Farrell at 12. I don't think he's an international 12. So I think Samu Karabi is going to have a very nice day running right at him, and nothing that they can do to stop that. But I just don't know if the Wallabies will get enough ball to feed that backline. I think the Wallabies will get better with every test, but I believe this test is a catch. I just feel like that's not a serious pack up against the English pack with Swain and Neville and Leota trying to stop those mauls and those drives. I also think it's tough to ask Dave Parecki to come in as a hooker and throw up against two Twin Towers, because you're going to have Courtney Laws and Mauro Itoje being lifted in both pillars, just like the Crusaders did against the Blues. And now he's going to have to hit someone right in the middle of that, which is difficult at the best of times. But when you have Johnny Hill lifting Itoje and you have Laws being lifted by a tall prop, that's going to be a very small margin for a guy to hit on a 5-meter defensive lineout. So I think it's going to negate each other. I think these both of these coaches are in each other's heads and they're thinking too much about what the other guy's doing. And in the end, it's going to come down to, can Quade Cooper make a kick? Sometimes he does, sometimes he doesn't. And who's taking the kicks for England? Is it going to be the boy Wonder or is it going to be old man Owen?
Right, yeah. Well, I tend to agree with you there on Owen Farrell at centre, especially in the last few years as well. He's just dipped off a little bit for me. Right, Conductor, I thought Oracle was here because I can. What you guys can't see is at the bottom. I can see when Oracle comes back into the studio, and as he comes in, I'm about to bring him in, and then he starts disappearing again. If he comes back in, what I might do is interrupt who's ever talking just to see if we can quickly get all four of his picks before he gets kicked out. Right, Conductor, Australia -2.5 here.
Yeah, it's tough to follow that analysis because that was pretty much spot on. So it was like trying to debate with a guy that's absolutely blowing you out the water with anything you want to say. But no, 100%.
Now you know others feel when you go first, eh?
No, so you're 100% in his analysis there. You know, obviously, I just feel personally, and I mean, people may disagree with me, that I just feel that Eddie Jones has just maybe lost the change room a bit. For me, he's a firefighter. He has quick solutions to problems, but as a long-term coach, I don't believe he builds great cohesiveness in the side. I think he's changed this England side quite a bit. Quite a bit of changes since their last big win. They didn't do brilliantly well in the Six Nations. That being said, I agree. If Australia had Isaac Rodder, I think it would have been a lot more solid. For me, probably I would have played Jake Gordon ahead of Nick White. I felt Jake Gordon's had a far better season at the Waratahs. Tate McDermott, I don't know if he's international quality, but for me, it's interesting to note in this Aussie 23, there's only one Reds player, Jordy Pitaya. So more Brumbies orientated. I agree with what Harry said there. The Aussie locks don't scare me at all. Matt Phillip, he's okay for the Rebels, but I don't know. Sometimes he's on and off. I agree exactly what he said. I think the English pack is better, but I prefer the Australian backline to the English backline. You know, Quade Cooper, he is the ultimate shit or champagne rugby player. He can be phenomenal on his day or be absolutely cost to the game. Corabetti, Karevi, I love Karevi. I think Karevi's going to run that Marcus Smith channel all night. Tom Banks to me is the biggest weakness in that side. I mean, you never want to slate a guy, but I think Australia should have found a better 15 at this stage. You know, I don't know if it's Jordy Pitaya has been lined up to take over from him. But the big thing that I wouldn't take, the reason I wouldn't take England is, as Harry mentioned, the bench. You've got Jack van Poortvliet, really good player at Leicester Tigers, but inexperienced at this level. Guy Porter, same situation. And Harry Arundel, I mean, he's going to be a superstar in years to come, but Hull's Bell's first test up against Australia away from home is tough. I'm taking, I saw 8-10 on for Australia. I'll take that on the board. I think I'll just have enough to cover that. Like I said, I'm more leaning towards the Dave Rennie's philosophy of creating a more balanced side where Eddie Jones, I don't know, his training tactics, guys seem to be getting injured the whole time. So I see Charlie Ewells out of the ACL now. So guys seem to get horrible injuries from his training sessions. So, it's always a bit of a worry. But I don't know if Oracle wants to come in.
No, let's see if we can get Oracle because we're probably going to lose him again soon. So, Oracle, we're talking about the Australia game. But first of all, if you can hear us, welcome back to the show, mate. You've had a long break. I think we're going to have to, unfortunately, throw in the towel on Oracle tonight. Oracle, sorry, mate, but I don't know if you can hear us, but we can't hear you. And we'll have to give you full credit for persistence. We can always leave his mug up there. Some of the female fans will stick to the show. I'm sure that's not disconcerting for anybody. But Oracle, unfortunately, we'll have to make a return maybe next week. But thanks for keeping going with it. And we'll move on to the next game now, which
Brent,
is South Africa.
Honest, I'll tell you the points line in Auckland is 47.5.
I can hear you, Brent, and new man Harry. I'm just pretending that's the conductor. That's Don Strauss.
Is Oracle breaking up for you guys?
Yeah.
Okay. Oracle, mate, you're breaking up quite badly. We can barely hear you. I think, have you got load shedding there? Yeah, and I think, Gav, I'm going to have to take you out if you can hear me. We can't hear you. Unfortunately, you're breaking up really badly. So that's the end of Oracle. I'll just ask him right like that. And yeah, well, let's move on now to the next show. Let's move on to the next game. And Conductor, we'll start with you. We'll give you first crack at this one. South Africa minus 18.5 against Wales. This handicap has been pretty stable all week from what I can see. It looks like punters are sort of saying, well, South Africa could win this by a long way, but a little bit nervous about Wales at the same time. Where are you here? And I saw earlier you're not going to be at Loftus, unfortunately, for this one. Sorry, Conductor, you're on mute.
Oh, sorry, Brinsy. Sorry, man. Yeah, unfortunately, I didn't manage to get tickets or the tickets that I was keen for. I didn't want to sit in the Oospuffeloon, as they say. It's right into the sun, and around about halftime, you get a migraine. That's next level. So that combined with the brandy, I thought I'd give it a skip this week, and I'll try and catch the next Bok test. But yeah, Brinsy, I see it's 47.5 points in Auckland and 50.5 points in Perth. 50.5, I'm not sure. Like what Harry says is it may be a slick surface, but I'm wondering with the tens like Quade Cooper, and then on the other front you got guys like Danny Kerr, Marcus Smith, Harlequins trio. I wonder if they're not going to try and play a little bit more of an attacking brand of rugby. Joe Cock and a singer also a bit more of attacking winger to me rather than defensive. So I don't know if there'll be points in that game or not, but it's worth noting that the points line there. Onto the Bok test. Sure, this is a tough one to call. You never like going on such a big handicap international time. You know, Wales have shown they can step up. I mean, you know, that look, they haven't had the greatest Six Nations. Losing to I think it was Wales that lost in that last minute to Caputo. I mean, one of the greatest prize. I mean, like Italy, the whole of Italy celebrated. It was amazing rugby, but Wales seem to be petering out at the moment. So I don't think Wayne Pivac is the right guy there. But yeah, that Caputo trauma, I may put it on YouTube a bit later just to regret myself. That was a pure definition of rugby joy, seeing a nation absolutely score in the last minute to win against to win. I think they hadn't won in so many games, but. Coming off some bad results, heading into Loftus, which is one of our strongest stadiums. Obviously, as you know, at altitude, it'll be a crystal clear day on Saturday. The brass smoke will be wafting over Loftus. The smell of brandy will be heavy in the air. It's a sold-out crowd.
And that's just in your room, I think. That's in your lounge.
I can guarantee you, there won't be many Welsh supporters in that crowd. It'll be hostile. So it's not going to be friendly at all. It's going to be tough for the Welsh. And looking at that side, you know, like I said, I'd probably be the first person to say, you know, look, it's a big handicap. Hop on the plus, but I can't hop on the plus. Yeah, if you look at that, you know, you've got two starting front rows that would be the envy of any World Rugby side. Oxenchair, Bongi and Benambi, and Franz Malherbe. Then at 50 minutes, you swap them around with Stephen Kitsoff, Malcolm Marks, and Stephen Koch. I mean, that's just insane. You got absolute beasts like Eben Etzebeth running at you all day. Jasper Visa, who's bouncing on like a pinball at the moment. It's just tough. You know, the only weak link that may be is Alton Nikes. Let's hope that Nando Walsh is as an Emirates airline stewardess that may distract him a bit, but he may be the only weakness. Obviously, South Africa missing a lot of guys, Hanre Pola, Kobus Reinach, Marco van Staden. So, you know, there's a couple of guys missing for South Africa, but it's still staunch side. At altitude, and given the Welsh results, it's difficult to see Wales staying within this handicap. You know, you got a guy like George North coming back. How much rugby has he played in the last couple of months? Probably not a lot, eh? I don't really need to analyze. I think the Bok back line with new guys like Makuzorima, Pimpy and Colby are game breakers in themselves. Fantastic players. But I wouldn't even look past 1-8 for the Bok. I just think the Welsh are really going to struggle. Struggle from 0 to 50 minutes. And then I think they're really going to struggle the last 30 minutes. I don't really rate their forwards bench coming off. Adam Pierre doesn't really do much for me. Like I said, they're not bad. You know, Dan Elliott is back, but you know, a lot of these Welsh guys haven't played the heaps of rugby, and they just don't seem to be on the right pathway. Where I think Rusty just seems to be getting better and better with the side. So for me, on the minus.
Right, we'll bring Harry in, but Harry, before we bring in, what are you drinking there as a matter of interest? I mean, we know that Conductor's drinking Tafel Lager. What have you got in your hand there?
This is a Red Bull energy drink, and I may or may not have added some tequila to it.
Okay, there we go. Right. So, Harry, Conductor's given us a good rundown there on this game. What are your views on the handicap and also your thoughts on points? I guess we're probably going to look at a points line here of around about 50 and a half, perhaps.
54.
Yeah, this is...
Is it 54? Is that actually out? Oh, it's 54, sorry.
It's an awkward team to play. You know, I went to Cardiff to watch the France play Wales in Wales because I actually had a sneaking suspicion that it would be difficult for the French. And that's because everything about Wales is set up for miserable conditions. I mean, like living there, it's the whole thing is like, we're going to make everything hard. If you're going to go around the corner to buy a beer, it's going to be difficult. Everyone is grumpy. Like the whole thing is like set up to just make you very vus all the time. And the French didn't handle it very well, and they are too dependent. You know, everything was going through one guy, Antoine. And so the Welsh were very clever at figuring that out. So here I think it's similar in that I think the Welsh will make us work for it in the first half for sure. I wouldn't expect it to be blowout by 50 minutes even. I think it's the slow poison of Bok rugby that will take its toll. I do think Adam Beard and Will Rowlands were actually a pretty good locking duo, and I think they will, again, make Lewitt and Avon work hard, but there's a big edge there in quality. It's the backup bench. It's the, you know, the bomb squad that's going to be devastating. The Welsh have tried to handle that by putting their best prop on their bench, you know, playing some games. And again, this is where coaches get too cute. I think that's going to, you know, I think France Malherbe is going to be licking his lips. And he's plus 34 on scrum penalties in his whole career for a reason. He usually gets one or two a game. So that's money for Elton. Elton's a good kicker. Yeah, you're right about the Emirates. Elton likes altitude. He gets frisky at altitude. So, you know, maybe we're going to see the sexy Elton. But look, there's no number 10 cover, so he has to do it. That's one thing we should note. We're so in love with 6-2 bench. I think Rossi and Jacques are going to do a 7-1 bench by the end of the year. But seriously, we're going to have to clean rocks because the Welsh are bringing Tommy Raphael. He's actually a very good fetcher. They got Josh Navidi, who is a very underrated player, on their bench. So they can make life difficult. 18 and a half is a lot of points. We don't, even when we win, you know, we don't tend to just, you know, play champagne rugby. But if Elton can play snappy and we can like move that pill a little bit, I think the biggest edge is going to be in the midfield with Dugues and Arm. I just think that their synchronicity is one of the best in the whole world. And I think you're exactly right about George North being a fantastic player. And if you put, you know, player for player, Liam Williams, Reece Zammit, North, Josh Adams, these are good players, but it's the playing together part that I think is going to be the midfield edge. And also our forward pack looks like a freaking desperado gang that was like in the gold rush of Vitz Vatersrand in the very first, you know, when they were just coming in. Like, look at these guys. They look scary. Jasper Visa looks like a scary, scary man with his mustache. And Bongi, you know, just looks like a bat out of hell. So I do think the Welsh will shrink on the high felt. I think they tend to. I think they tend to look a little bit slow and pale up there. So I think the guys I look for, Faletau will be good. He's always good. And I think Dan Bigger never plays small. So, you know, I think it's going to be a proper test for 55 minutes. And then you're going to see, I think you're going to see some serious penalty entries at 22, bank the points, and then you're going to have my PP time.
Right. Yeah. Well, guys, I can tell you, a while ago, I watched the Simpsons he's gone again. I was going to say, I watched the Simpsons program when Homer said to Bart, son, if you keep trying something and you keep trying something and you're battling, just stop. It's not worth keeping on trying. But no one stole that to Oracle because he keeps on popping up in the bottom of my screen. But now he's gone again. Oracle, mate, I think we're going to have to throw in the towel, unfortunately. Yeah, send me a voice note, I think, with his picks. I'll play that at the end of the show. It's about 5 minutes. I'll put it on a bit of quick speed there. But I'll play that at the end of the show when we do our best. That's Luando saying a box there, 28-15. I did put this competition up. Hey, sorry, I'm getting confused. I haven't seen that many guys giving. But on this one, we're going to do a competition as well. Exactly the same thing. We want to know who the winner is, the margin, and the total points. And that's for a 200 Rand Hollywood Bets voucher. If you don't have a Hollywood Bets account, don't worry. Drop me an email, brent@goodforthegame.co.za. I'll send you a link, and we can probably organize you something else to get you started as well. Right, that is the end of the Bok game there. I just want to bring up one thing. Shane just put it on Twitter while we're talking. Something from the past here, gents. That's a picture of me when I was being interviewed in this World Cup in South Africa 12 years ago. CNBC, the business, interviewed me on – they used to interview me on the betting. But the funny thing about that story was, aside from the fact that I was 30 kilograms lighter, was I was working full-time. So I was always worried one of my employers would turn on because it was 1 o'clock in the afternoon. I was always worried someone would have it on like in the company lounge or something and go like, what the hell's our property guy doing – talking about sports betting during working hours. But anyway, a little bit of a diversion on that one. Let's get back into the games themselves. And the next game I want to cover here is Argentina -5.5 against Scotland. And Harry, let's kick off with you.
Oh, yeah. So when you go to Argentina, what they try to do is take you to Buenos Aires. Then they put you on a bus and go to Salta. And then they like make you go on sidecar motorcycles up to somewhere that no one even knows. And then you play at a place called San Salvador de Juju. I don't know what happens in Juju, but I'm pretty sure that the Scottish are not going to have enough Juju to overcome that. I think Scottish don't travel well. They haven't traveled well recently. And they actually, I think it's an even record with the Pumas, which is surprising to people probably. But I do think Michael Checa will have a surprise waiting for them. I don't think they have Finn Russell. I don't think they have a lot of their magic men. And a lot of their magic men have been short on confidence. So I'm looking for an Argentina win here, which probably is the only upset I'm actually picking this week.
Excellent. Well, compliment for you there, Peter Paul, saying this guy is good. The comments are flying in, of course, now with the predictions coming in as well. Let's get Conductor's view on that game.
No, Brian, so before I go on that, I just want to just circle back to what Harry said on the Bok game. I think it's the most apt description of Bok rugby. It's that slow poison, and it just starts off slow, and, you know, you get no ruck possession, you get no ball. The Boks won't cover this. You know, it won't be like a New Zealand win where they sort of 25 up with 20 to go. They might cover that handicap in the last sort of 10, 15 minutes with a quick try, but they'll suffocate Wales all day long, etc. It's not going to be beautiful, but there might be one or two tries, but that is the most apt saying for the Bok rugby at the moment. Is that slow poison, that massive pack, and just there's no getting around that. But and then going on to your World Cup soccer predictions, Brent, I assume you predicted well, seeing as 3 million Nigerians haven't tried to take you out after that the soccer prediction. So you must be okay.
Well, the good news is they don't recognize me anymore.
You're in Abuja, so you're really lucky to be alive,
man. No, that's for sure. But yeah, fortunately, they don't recognize us. Just quickly, I see Oracle coming in there. He also runs an Excel page. He's a man of many talents. And he's saying, "Their apologies for the load shedding." He did send me a voice note. Oracle, I am going to play your voice note at the end of the show when we do the best bets. Tell him to play the voice note. Yes, okay, Oracle, I will play your voice note. I promise you that. Anything else on that game, gents, before we move on to what I would consider one of the lesser games? I think I've got a price here for Romania against Italy. I think that one's tomorrow night.
So on the Argentina, I just want to ask. So it's interesting what Harry said in terms of the travel schedules. And I imagine they don't make it easy in Argentina. Obviously, with COVID, I think this is their first game in 2, 3, 4 years, I think, in Argentina. The Jaguares was destined for the scrap heap. Obviously, you know, Argentina had to play their rugby championship games in Australia. So I think it's their first home game. It's going to be a lot of emotion. So the new regime has taken over the Aussie-led regime. I'm not sure. The name has slipped off the top of my head. Michael Checker. I'm not sure. It's going to be interesting to see how he gels with the Argentinian psyche. He's a hard-nosed Aussie. He takes no shit. He's beaten many a coaching box in his day. I don't know if he'll be able to fit into the structure of Argentina rugby, etc. But yeah, I mean, towards the end, Argentina, what was that? The last game, they got absolutely smoked. I think it was by Ireland. They were pumped 54-17. It was the Argentinian dregs. But back at home, I like this Argentina side. You know, Buffet, you know, at left wing, and he's on form. I love him. Malia, the guy from Toulouse at 15. I like him. I think it's Santi Cordero at 14. Duele Fuente, 12. Matias Moroni, I think, is the Leicester Tigers player at 13. The Stade Francais, the Argentinians at 10. And obviously, Julian Montoya coming off a great Leicester Tigers season. And obviously, the red card merchants. Jeepers, I can't believe I forgot his name. He was the first name on my lips. I think he got about a red card, a yellow card every single game. Lavanini, he's nowhere to be found. I think as far as I saw, he's nowhere around the team. So, Big Thomas, he's nowhere there. But I like Argentina on the minus. Finn Russell, like Harry says, nowhere there. His foot is currently in the boots. Stuart Hogg won't be there. So Rory Hutchinson, the North African Saints player at 15. But Darcy Graham, not bad. I like Joffa Maverick, good player. But we are missing a couple of players for Scotland. I just think the overall emotions of Argentina will overwhelm Scotland here. But like I said, I'm just hoping that Michael Checker, because I don't think he's a very articulate man, and I don't think he puts things very politically correct. So I'm hoping he fits into the Argentina style. It may suit him perfectly, or it may not work at all. But compared to the way they ended with the previous coach, I think it must be an improvement.
Excellent. Just having a look, I enjoyed this comment. Bald gentleman, I think he's referring to you, Harry. Love your analysis, brother. I enjoyed that. Bald gentleman. That's pretty polite. I'm quite impressed there. So yeah, I also enjoying Harry's analysis in this show. Let's move on then, gents, to the next game. We'll just touch on these, I guess. Romania plus 10.5 against Italy. Conduct, I'll start with you on this one.
Brent, to be honest, I haven't dived much into this, but I tried to catch a problem with some of these sort of when the tier two teams play. It's not always a broadcast on Super Sports, so I try to catch some of it on an illegal channel. And I watched Portugal almost stick it over Italy. It was close. I think Italy scored in the sort of last couple of minutes to win that game. So I'm all over Romania to beat the Italians. I haven't seen too much of the Italian team, but as far as I can understand, it's still a youngish Italian team, you know, not the most experienced. So, and the Romanians I can't remember exactly where they play again. It's wherever, but I think they've been tough at home. I mean, they're not pushovers. They're big lads. They'll be looking to sort of beat the Italians here. So at 5-1, I'm all over Romania, and I'll definitely take some of the plus, considering how much Italy struggled against Portugal. Italy were behind for big portions of that game. So I'm all over Romania, yeah.
Right, Harry, you got anything for us on this game? Is this the sort of game you'll be able to watch?
Yeah, I can watch it. You know, I'll find a way to watch all of it. But yeah, when you're drinking in Bucharest, I think you have to watch what's in your drink and who's behind you, and always assume the pretty girl who likes you doesn't really like you. I actually was a little bit tangentially involved in this soap opera between Spain and Romania. I would say maybe there are going to be some Spanish secret agents in the crowd trying to find some passports that were altered, because it's really a strange story about, you know, these tier two nations that are trying to sneak into the World Cup, and they're all trying to gun for each other and gut each other. It's difficult to make any tier two predictions. You don't know, like, you know, is Garbisi really going to play? Is he a backup? Are they trying to take this seriously or not? So very difficult, difficult on a gambling standpoint for sure. But I mean, I think that Italy should have enough. But definitely Romania is on the up after the shafting of Spain.
Well, we got one more game that I'm aware of to talk of. If there's anything I've left out at the end and there's something else you guys want to throw in, by all means. But Harry, we'll start with you. Yes, Japan plus 17.5 against the French.
Yeah, the French are in a city called Toyota. It's actually Toyota City. Imagine this. The whole town is named for a car. And I think there's 7.5 million people in that prefecture. And none of us even know the name of the city that's there besides Toyota City. I think it's going to be a strange place to play. Olivon is back as captain for the French. I think the French have built a lot of depth in recent years, but it's going to be a humid mother of a game. And it's sometimes a shock the first time you play on a basically a parking lot. You know, you're playing in a bathtub. So I think Franz Malherbe said he lost 10 kilograms in one match in Japan. So, you know, I think maybe the French have to be interested in this one, or they might get caught on the line. I don't know if they can cover that. I think they won't. But I think they'll make heavy weather of it, and they'll win, and they won't be happy about it. And they'll have grumpy French faces.
Conductor, what do you make of this one? I mean, Japan plays some really attractive rugby. Yeah. But you've got to think they're gonna battle up front against the French.
Yeah, Brent. Look, obviously, the French have come over, have left a lot of their main players in France, but still, this is a very, very good French team. You know, Jaminet is starting 15 for the French. Vakatawa, he can start from any day. Damon Penaud, fuck, he's good. He's a good-looking right wing. Damon, he must just pull left, right, and centre wherever he travels over the world. I hope he's not married, because that's no. And Jalibert, I mean, he's just so quality for Bordeaux. Begler, quality 10. And as you said, Olivon is back. So it's a really good French team. If there was anywhere else with normal weather, I'd be all over. There was -14.5 today, which I took a nibble on. Nothing massive, but it is the weather that's concerning. Apparently 35 degrees centigrade forecast for Toyota. And then it'll be around about 81% humidity, 80% humidity. So it's just going to be frighteningly tough. Funny enough, it's not a great Japanese team. No Matsushima, he's not in. Suzuki Himeno, you're not in either. But there's some very average players. Cut it funny here for, I didn't really rate him in the pools, and geez, he's a journeyman. So, you know, guys like Wimpy van der Vaal, these are okay players, and they play well as a collective, but they're not, you know, missing guys like Shota Hori. He's not in, apparently he had COVID or something like that. But, you know, I'd be all over the minus, except for just the weather. It's going to be so incredibly warm. I've got a distinct feeling the French will try and slow it down. I saw Jamie Joseph said he's going to try and speed it up. So it's going to be a tussle between the two styles. I see the referee is Frank Murphy, the Irishman. So he's a big unders ref in my books. So if it's a 55, 56, something silly like that, I'd probably look at unders. I think with that French defense, to me, the French are just ramping up for the World Cup. They're going to want to start prepping. A lot of these guys are going to start putting their names up. Want to start putting their names up for the French first team. I can't see a lot of guys breaking Yohan Tanga's tackles. He's a beast at 8. Onivant for Toulon is excellent tackle. I think if I'm not mistaken, he's got one of the best tackle stats in the French top 14. So I don't think that the Japanese have a lot of weapons to counteract this French defense. And a guy like Matsushima is very, very good. I think Fafita's on the left wing. He's not bad, but I watched the Japanese versus Uruguay. They weren't deadly. The Uruguay just basically just the wheels came off in the second half. So there's not a lot of weapons in this Japanese side that would trouble the French. So I'd probably look at unders would be my best play as opposed to taking the minus, because I like Gary says, it's going to be incredibly hot. Like it's next level heat in Japan in the summer months.
Yeah, that does. 37 degrees, as Mark says, is not nice to play. Just quickly, I didn't even know this game was on. Anything, Conductor, Tonga plus 8.5 against Fiji. You see this one?
Yeah, Brent. Obviously, initially, given what Tonga put on the field the last couple of months, I would have jumped into Fiji. I'm still on the Fiji minus. I see the gay pride parade representative, Israel Folau. He's back for Tonga, so he's going to be interesting to watch. So, yeah, him and I think Malachi Fakitoa is back. Obviously, now we're rolling into the teams now in terms of the eligibility rules have changed now. So, Charles Pietau, 15 for Tonga. You've got Izzy Folau at 14, Malachi Fakitoa at centre. Some of the Moana Pacifica guys playing for Tonga. So, there is Tami Takalua, the ex-Toulon guy. He's starting at 9. So, there's a decent amount of experience for Tonga, but I've got to feel it in Suva, Fiji. A lot of it is the Fiji guys that played in the Super Rugby competition. Rovovo and Habossi, he was absolutely deadly for the Fiji lads. I just feel there's more cohesiveness in this Fiji side in the Tonga in Fiji in Suva in front of their home crowd. I've got to take the minus here. I just feel maybe the Tonga guys have just come together a bit late. Maybe there's not that cohesiveness they will be in Fiji, have played most of the season together.
Right. I'm just Mark had me re-looking at things. He's asking if I'm giving a 20,000 voucher away. Mark, if I have written 20,000 rand somewhere on the show, I'll take it back right now. I definitely haven't. I think Hollywood would absolutely kill me there. Harry, any views on this one from you?
Yeah, I take the Kingdom of Tonga to cover that. I think it's gonna come down to a ding dong battle. Tonga actually, I think, has the base of the Moana Pacifica training, and we know that. For example, it was only after the Pumas existed that the Pumas were able to knock off the All Blacks. So I really think it's a huge deal for Tongan players to play together all season. And then you add these superlative world-class talents from the back. I think it's going to come down to 2 or 3 points either way. I think Tonga has probably got the bigger mission. Tonga Strong, Volcano, that whole kingdom is pulled together. I think it's going to be a really good one to watch. Actually, I think that would be the one I would tell everyone to try and find a way to watch.
Mm. Well, that should be a good one. We're going to go into the best bets, and I'm going to start with the guy who couldn't come on the show. And that's Oracle. I'm going to see if I can bring up his voice note here. I've set it to 1.5 speed. Oracle, I promise you, I normally listen to yours in real speed because I just love your voice so much. But let's hear him. I might speed it up to 2. Let's see how it goes.
Awesome, guys. Sorry about that. My first show back in, I'm going to say 9 months. Thanks very much, Brent, for hosting me. And hello to new man Harry and obviously the conductor, which I've got to suggest, conductor, you're looking very much like Josh Strauss, the dude who lifted the cup for the Lions against the Sharks in the Curry Cup in 2011. But anyway, nonetheless, nice to see you again. Hope everybody's well. I'll just go through my picks quickly so you don't spend too much time on the show. And I really apologize for everybody that I sent out the link to that I won't make it onto the show. But here we go. Let's talk about New Zealand. I know it's around about a 10-point handicap. Could be a bit less, could be a bit more, not too sure. But I'm going to suggest that it's an Irish plus for me, only because I don't believe that New Zealand have benefited from South Africa not being in Super Rugby. I think it's vice versa. I think the Irish have benefited by playing South Africa in the URC. And, you know, what would have been an 18 or 20-point handicap has obviously come down to 10. I still think the Irish are good for the plus 10. I know I've heard a bit about COVID, but never mind that. In fact, this might even be the first time Ireland win this game on the board in New Zealand. I'll tell you, I wouldn't be, if I were you, and I'm speaking to the public obviously listening to this, I wouldn't touch New Zealand here. The minus, should I say, it's either plus or no bet. And if you're a little bit brave like me, maybe you have a little bit of a nibble at Ireland on the board. Next up, we've got Australia versus England. I'm going to suggest the same thing. I know that England haven't played us, but geez, I watched that Saracens and Leicester final, and the English look very good. I don't know the strength of the team, but I've got to say that Australia probably lifted their game slightly playing against the All Blacks, or the New Zealand team, should I say. But I don't believe it's enough. I think England come down and beat them. Not very, very strong on that. Looking at the other game, France away at Japan. Yeah, I'm going to say that. Geez, the French, I'd say anything minus 12, minus 13, minus 14, I'm a minus punter. If it's sort of out at 18, 19, 20, possibly go Japan. But I suspect it's closer to the bottom side. And at 12 or 14 or 13 or around about there, I'm a minus punter. Not a big punter, but I do think the French will dispatch them. And then brings me to South Africa, Wales. I'm going to tell you straight up, I'm going to be at the Cape Town game in 2 weeks' time. I've moved down to Cape Town. I say South Africa win all three games by 20 plus. I don't think any of them will be close. I think when you've got a minus of 17-19, I think they way off. The Welsh were absolute rubbish in the URC. South Africans have got altitude when it comes to Loftus and Bloemfontein. And when it comes to Cape Town, the Welsh will be completely decimated. It'll be race over by then. So I'm all over the three minuses, 1-2-3, Loftus, Bloemfontein, and Cape Town. I think it's a clean sweep for South Africa. And which brings me to my last game, which is probably the bet of the week for me. I saw minus 4.5. And again, I'm not watching the show right now. Unfortunately, I've got bad internet. I suspect it's around about the 3-4-5 mark. And I'm going to tell you anything under minus 8, Argentina's value. Argentina will absolutely dispatch of this Scotland team. In fact, they're absolute rubbish. I'm not going to suggest it's rubbish, but it's rubbish. I think Argentina will really decimate this team. They'll beat them up everywhere, scrums everywhere. I don't think Scotland got any chance. And I know that in the past, they've sent all, you know, half teams and quarter teams and three-quarter teams and two-third teams, you know, to Argentina. But this year, I think it's race over. Argentina win this game. It's better the week. It's a fast-fall bet. Take anything you can, minus Argentina. Anything up to about minus 8, and you're in the money. And that's it for me. I really apologize about the load shedding and not making it through to my debut after, you know, 8 or 9 months. I can't remember when I was last on the show. But yeah, Argentina, best bet for me. South Africa, second best bet, followed by the other three, England, Ireland, and, well, England and Ireland pluses, and France minus. But yeah, for me, it's all about Argentina. It's a late game after, obviously, the Durban July. I haven't had a look at the Durban July yet, so I can't help you there. But yeah, I'm enjoying getting back to the rugby. And yeah, thanks very much for having me, Brent. Welcome, Harry, and conductor stroke Josh Truss. That's a compliment, by the way, not a negative. I'm very impressed with your beard. But yeah, enjoy your evening, and thanks very much.
Great. Well, Oracle, I must say, that was a great voice note from him. It's a very confident pick there on Argentina. But look, let's get Harry. Harry, what are your strongest fancies for the weekend, sir?
I'm the same on Argentina. I think that's going to be a fire pit, and it's going to be tough for the Scottish to get out alive. I think when you go play Argentina in these small venues, it's really actually kind of a frightening experience. I think the other one would probably be the box. I think, Argentina box. I really don't think anyone should put a lot on the England-Australia match. I just think that's going to be – that surface is really tricky. I have reports that the thing is just breaking up even in practice. That's my thinking for the weekend.
Excellent. Thanks, Harry. And let's go to the conductor for his best bets.
Yeah, Brent. I agree. I'm probably gonna look at the game that's gonna be the least contested in the sense of focus. I like Argentina. I actually googled the Battle of Tucumán this week and brought back many memories of Argentina firing. They're not a nation that welcomes you with kisses on either cheek. Unless that kisses a left hook and a right hook. So they're a fiery bunch, and they'll be fired up to at home after so many years without a game there. So definitely the tears will be pouring down the cheeks with the national anthem is roaring there in Argentina. I like that. I'll probably take my next best would probably be New Zealand on the minus. I don't think there's too, but I'd probably look at a minus 9.5 at about 7-10, 8-10. I just think there is some weaknesses in that Irish side that at Eden Park, where they are the strongest. I think the All Blacks will have taken into account a lot of the talk of them being written off. I like that bet. And if what Harry is saying is that surface is going to be slick in Perth, I might just look at that unders. You know, that might be a little bit high. I think the referee there is Paul Dixon, if I'm not mistaken. But yeah, it's a bit tough to take unders with Marcus Smith and Craig Cooper on the opposite end. Then that's a bit my best bets. Obviously, when we Argentina to cover that Scotland minus. And there's another game. I don't know if they'll be betting for it. Australia A versus Samoa. A bit of disrespect to Samoa. Samoa plus 10.5. The game is also in Suva in Fiji against a slightly green Aussie A side. So if you can get some betting for that, I like the Samoa on the plus. A decent Samoa side. Fired up in front of a lot of Pacific Island nations supporters and boat paddles and nose rubbing and headbutts and that kind of jazz and the whole sort of thing going on there. So yeah, I like Samoa on the plus, but yeah, definitely my best bet is the Argentina minus. And then obviously depending on the points line in Toyota, if it's massive, then I'll definitely look at unders. I think it may be a fast start there. But I think within 15, 20 minutes, and you see that first scrum come up and the guys' shirts are soaking wet, maybe looking unders after that. 100%.
Excellent. Well, I'll be listening to the show again and figuring out the best bet for tomorrow's newsletter. And you can get a link to that down below. Of course, this week's newsletter is going to be a bit of a bump edition because it's my favorite sporting event of all. It's the Tour de France starting. So I'll be doing video previews for that. So subscribe to the channel if not already done. And then, of course, the Durban July. I had an excellent chat with Alan and Jason earlier. So if you haven't watched that preview, do that. And, yeah, have a look at all what Chris has done on the Good for the Game website as well. Really looking forward to the Durban July. My son plays rugby Friday and Saturday, actually. So I'm not even sure because Saturday's fixture, we only find out what time it is once you see how Friday goes. And I may even miss some of the rugby and some of the Durban July, but I'll certainly be keeping an eye on it, no doubt about that. Thanks to all the boys who joined us in the live chat. Excellent. Always great to have your contributions. I will announce the winners of the two 200 Rand vouchers, just stressing 200 Rand. I don't want any lawsuits from Hollywood, but I'll be announcing those winners on Twitter and on the Good for the Game forum. And then once you know that you're a winner, just send me an email at brent@goodforthegame.co.za. I'll organize that. And if you don't have Hollywood counts and you want to open one, pop me an email as well. We'll see if we can organize you a voucher there or something. We do have an affiliate deal with them, so I'll send you a link that you can use to get on or click on one of the banners on the Good for the Game website. And then to my live guests, well, Conductor, great having you on the show. Please, we could squeeze in between the load shedding. And have a cracking weekend. I'm sure you hear the roars from Loftus and the smell of the brandy in your lounge.
Oh, thanks, Brenty. Yeah, especially if the power's off, yeah, there'll be no noise. I'll be able to hear it. But no, thanks. I've just got about 3 minutes of electricity left. So no, thanks for the show, Brenty, and thanks, Harry. It was great to chat to you, mates, and your analysis is top notch. So yeah, thanks for the show, guys. Hit the bookies hard. Yeah, don't go ballistic because it's a tricky weekend. But yeah, I hope you boys make some money.
So I'm laughing at two things here. One, Peter Paul saying thanks, bald man. And then just when I look below that, some I don't know what you'd call it, some one of these sort of hackers has got into the thing and posting something. I actually
sorry, Ben. That was me. Sorry, just stop joking.
Yeah, I was just wondering. And then Harry, yeah, thanks, man. Excellent debut on the show. Great to have you on. And definitely, I can see from the guys' comments, they're certainly hoping you'll join again in the future. Great having you on the show and have a fucking weekend.
Happy to do so. Love it, guys. Good luck.
Excellent. Thanks very much. Thanks, everyone. Thanks a lot for joining us.
Cheers, boys. Cheers, mate.
We'll see you next week for the Handicap Rugby Chat That Matters.